Gwendolyn Camacho Hughes for the Sight Savers America out of Alabama, and she's presenting evidence to support a national model for children's eye care. And Gwen has worked as a member of the program staff at Southern Partners Fund for over 6 years before becoming the Director of Operations and Eye Care Programs for Sight Savers America. She's helped shape their successful follow-up eye care program, and she brings over a decade of experience in shaping community service-based programs. She's a native of Massachusetts, and Gwen currently lives in Birmingham, Alabama, with her husband and three-year-old daughter. Okay, please help me welcome Gwendolyn from Sight Savers.
I have no relationships to disclose. Okay, so I'm here today to talk about, to present evidence to support a national model for children's eye care. As has been mentioned by the previous presenters, and as we all know, initial eye care for children is very important in their eye health. Getting a young child to a doctor at a young age is oftentimes the very first step in establishing good eye health for that child. But as we also all know, vision problems can develop at any time during childhood, and if that child doesn't receive recurrent treatment, that can lead to a host of short and long-term problems for that child. So Alabama's statewide vision program, which includes, and first let me say this, that a successful outcome-based program for vision, for child's eye care can include vision screening and a comprehensive follow-up program. And Alabama's statewide vision program does include both statewide vision screening and a comprehensive follow-up program, including a customized database that captures the results of every child that's vision screened and referred for follow-up eye care. We actually previously reported a high percentage of eye care outcomes for kindergartners, second graders, and fourth graders that were referred for follow-up eye care that had failed Alabama's annual vision screening program. So as I just mentioned, recurring eye care is important for a child's eye health, and especially during childhood, they can develop their vision. They can develop a vision problem at any point. So this year, our focus is going to present the results of recurring eye care in populations of children that were followed up on. So we began with a population of 4,984 identical children that were referred for follow-up that had failed a vision screening. We identified a group of kindergartners and in 2007 and 08 school year, and we followed those same children 2 years later into second grade in 2009 and 2010. We also selected a separate group of second grade students in 07-08 and followed them into fourth grade in 09 and 2010. And lastly, we followed a subset of 3,016 identical children that met three main criteria. Available contact information, parental contact was established in both years that they were referred, and their vision was uncorrected at the time of the screening. So let me begin our results with a little of what we presented last year. In our presentation, we showed a significant increase of children wearing glasses at the time of the screening. In kindergarten, 17%, second grade around 30%, and fourth grade around 42%. But we theorized but couldn't demonstrate that the reason for the increase in children wearing glasses was because of the recurrent follow-up. And we couldn't prove that because they were children from different populations. So this year, we show strong evidence to support that recurrent follow-up results in an increased percent of children wearing glasses, the same children wearing glasses in later years. So as you can see, for the kindergartners in 07, around 21% were wearing glasses at the time of the screening. And those same children in second grade 2 years later, that increased to about 41%. And for the different population of second graders in 2007, around 29% were wearing glasses, and that jumped to almost 47% as fourth graders in 2009 and 10, which is there's statistically significant increases. So let's shift a little bit to talk about eye care outcomes. So we're going to look at the eye care outcomes after the completion of the follow-up protocol for the subset of the 3,016 children, identical children, whose vision was uncorrected at the time of the screening. So as you can see, for kindergartners in 07, around 71% reported outcomes. And that increased to 87.4% for the same children 2 years later as second graders. And for the different population of second graders in 2007, around 77% had reported outcomes, and that increased to 86% for the same population as fourth graders in 09-10. To give you a little bit more specific reported outcomes for these same 3,016 children that we talked about in the previous slide, we see that there were 1,021 out of 1,645 children that received treatment after their initial eye exam. And that increased to 1,224 children receiving treatment after the initial eye exam, again, for the same population of children. And for the second graders in 07 that we followed, 936 out of 1,371 received treatment after their initial eye exam, and that increased to 1,105 for the same population of children now as fourth graders. So our results do show an increase in two important factors. The first is the number of children wearing glasses at the time of the screening, and the reported outcome eye care outcomes both increased in later grades for the populations of the identical populations of K, 2, and 4 children that we followed. So it's important to note at this point that for this population, our evidence does demonstrate that repetitive parental contact did result in increased eye care for these kids. So in future years, we will be able to follow the same children and follow their recurring eye care all the way throughout their childhood, their elementary education, from kindergarten to second grade to fourth grade. So we can have a complete picture and basically evaluate the effectiveness of repetitive parental contact on children's eye care. So last year at APHA, we presented the Alabama's eye care program, which is a unique and comprehensive methodology for effective parental contact and comprehensive eye care follow-up for children that fail the statewide vision screening. We talked about Alabama's statewide strategy for achieving reported outcomes for over 23,000 children annually that are referred after having failed that screening. And we've shown that this program leads to improved access for all school children across the state, particularly those that are uninsured and underinsured, and that it increases the percentage of reported outcomes, and we, as a result, are able to have a uniform, comprehensive database that allows us to capture the results of these children's eye care and report the results. The focus of our current APH presentation is to show that this same program can improve not only initial care, but the continuum of care through the recurrent protocol that we've established throughout a child's elementary school years. In conclusion, the Alabama statewide program encompasses three key components. First, the comprehensive follow-up eye care protocol for every child in the state that fails a vision screening. And it continues this protocol not only during initial treatment and initial year in the initial year of referral, but in subsequent years as well. And that it captures the reported outcomes for these children so that we're able later to report. And so this can most certainly serve as a national model for children's eye care across the country and improve children's eye health for communities that implement this program, which can certainly result in healthier communities or contribute to healthier communities. That's it. Thank you.
If I could I get all the speakers to, would you mind coming up to the front of the room for our question and answer session? And then for purposes of recording, what I'd like to do is for any questions that you have, I will repeat them into the microphone, or if it's a long question, you may come up to the mic and ask your question, and then we'll have our panel of distinguished guests here respond. Are there any questions? Yes, Kevin?
Quick question for Gwen. And this is speculation, but just of interest. But you need a lot of resources to do recurrent and comprehensive in a database. If it was just recurrent in a database with more screening rather than comprehensive, do you think the results might have a chance to be as good?
You're saying that instead of the follow-up, we just have vision screening without parental follow-up?
You can come up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I guess what I'm trying to figure out is there a way to make it, just think about resources. Is it resource intense, and if so, what could be
deeper? I mean, it is. We do require. Okay, sorry.
So you have to respond to the mic, yeah. Otherwise, I have to repeat all of it, and no one wants to sit with.
Sorry, got caught up in the moment. It does require a lot of resources, and for the Alabama program, we receive state funding from the Department of Education. That funding is written into the state budget, and it's state legislature. Every child is vision screened and followed up on. That is a part of the statewide program. So it does require funding, but it is the protocol process, the repeated parental contact is very effective. We have about a 90% success rate in establishing contact with parents that we call, whose children have been referred for vision screening. Did that answer your question?
Okay.
Michael, I saw your hand up. Question?
Yeah, this is a little bit of a long question, but not too long, hopefully.
Want to come up here?
So,
don't start until you get up.
Okay. So, I guess this question would go to Bruce, and I really do appreciate what you said about, you know, the current vision screening, mainly, vision screening for nearsightedness is what you said, which is true. And we know the sensitivity and specificity of that from several studies, 27% sensitive, 99% specific. So I guess my question is that from a policy standpoint, what's happening is we are getting this cross-contamination of data that says, you know, this is screening and care. And I just want to mention, and everybody can pick this up, so this is the 2010 National Healthcare Disparities Report, you know, that's upstairs in the convention center. And it's interesting, when we go to vision, and you look at effectiveness under prevention, children's vision care, it starts to list children ages 3 to 6 who have ever had their vision checked by a health provider by race, ethnicity, and income. And that's interesting because you look at this and it says, well, we really don't have much of a problem. Whites are getting checks 75%, blacks 70%. We need to have a problem with Hispanics 55%. So in reality, then I go back and I look at, well, I wonder what the data source is. And the data source is a question on the MEPS Family Survey, which asks a parent, has your child ever been checked? Their eyes have been checked. And the parent says, of course, oh, yeah, of course, that pediatrician took the pen light and looked at my child's eye and said, by God, that child is fine. And so, we're reporting out data, and then we have to go with this and say, you know, we have a problem in the country that kids aren't getting care. So I want to really be careful about about that. So the question to you is, in this, and the Massachusetts is a great, you know, that's always been great. It's always been the standout. I guess two questions. One is, how are you going to translate that into being the effective model throughout the country, whereby we take these other models that are being done in, quote, medical home or whatever, that's the non-sensitive tests, and say that those are no longer counted. I just want to figure out how we do that. And then another question of related to that is, we should only screen asymptomatic children. And is there any quantification of symptoms checklist before they're screened? Because if a child has a symptom, then they should go directly to care. So those are the two questions, A and B, on that. Thanks.
So normally in my class, it'd be about a six-hour lecture. I'll try to cut it down to less than 6 minutes. I think the first part of your question is, as you held up that nice big thick book with data in it that you're intimating is garbage, I would frankly agree with you. I think it's garbage. I think a lot of the data out there is garbage. So, you know, when I hear that parents report that the kid had something done, they don't know. You know, I'm a pediatric eye doctor. I see kids all the time. I take histories, and I'm just astonished. I mean, I should write a book, as any of us who are in that position should write a book about the things that parents tell us. The data is poor. The only thing I could really say is just go back to Scandinavia. Somehow, they have people that have something resembling our genetic code, and they do a good job. Now, why is it that they do a good job and we do a bad job? Well, I have an inkling. And the inkling is that, as Leah Hyvarinen has told me and others, they don't do a screening test. They don't wave a magic wand, whether it's got a fast computer chip in it or not, and say, you know, yes or no. What they do is they do repetitive developmental assessments of children, literally from pre-birth on. And they find these things out, and they do it through observing children's behavior, listening to parents, and it's just a different way of doing things. You know, can we transpose a Scandinavian system that, you know, more homogeneous population, all the issues we're all aware of, to what we have here? I have no idea. I really don't know. What I do know is that what we've got in this country right now is fundamentally broken, and that if we continue to do the same things we've done before, does anybody really think it's going to become less broken? The answer is no, it's not going to become less broken. So what we've got to do is we've got to start from scratch. And that means that the people in the medical home setting, the pediatricians for the most part, have an innate belief that all testing of this sort should exist in that setting. And I don't doubt that. I think that's fine. But do I think we need a backup in the educational setting? Absolutely. So we need redundancy, from my perspective. To think that you're going to wave a magic wand one time and catch everybody with 100% sensitivity and specificity is absurd. You can't do that. We know that the best screening techniques out of VIP, the VIP study, is that non-cycloplegic retinoscopy done by pediatric eye doctors has got a sensitivity of 90% for picking up significant refractive error and amblyopia. That means that you put a retinoscope in my hand with 35 years of pediatric experience, and I'm going to miss it 10% of the time. Now, what does that say? Probably says I'm poorly trained, which is probably true. But it says that no matter what we do, it's going to be less than perfect. If you take that screening paradigm of only 90% sensitivity and you put that in an exam setting, if I put myself in that exam setting and say, am I going to catch a kid 100% of the time with all the time in the world and the best tools available and the best history from the parent? The answer is no, I'm not going to get it 100% of the time. And I got 35 years of pediatric experience. So put that in the hands of somebody who mostly does LASIK surgery all day long and have him do a screening or an exam on a squirmy 3-year-old kid with autism. And how good is he going to do? You're not going to do as well as I am. So I guess my perception is that we got to start out understanding that one shot isn't going to work 100% of the time, no matter how good it is. The Scandinavian system of repetition and close personal follow-up care is probably the only way it's going to work. Can we afford that? Probably not. So ultimately, we're going to have to come up with what we might consider to be a quintessentially American perspective, which is a nice way of saying we're going to have to depend on technology that is yet unknown in order to do the screening in the right way, in order to capture the exams and the follow-up. A lot of states now are talking about immunization databases. They're talking about having a unified data system to capture this. In Massachusetts, we're talking about an immunization against amblyopia. What is that? Is that a long needle with an eye chart at the end of it? No, it's a screening and then an examination process and then a follow-up process. So in some way, we're going to have to be clever and creative and, again, quintessentially American in employing appropriate technology in appropriate ways. It's a complex solution. But I will say one last thing, and then Renee's going to throw me off, and that is that if we continue the same discussion that we've had too many times in the past, exams versus screening, we're going to get nowhere. That's a question that we should just simply banish from existence, and we should start the process over again. We ought to reboot. And the reboot is that we've got to come up with a creative system and stop with whatever the politics have been in the past, between the professions, amongst the professions, all of that. That's not going to work. It's got to be something different, and it's got to be something a whole lot better.
I feel like applauding. That was an excellent question, and I think a superb response under. By the way, it's 2 o'clock, so if you need to go to the next session, but I think this is a great discussion, so if you want to stay, we'll hold out for one more question.
Very briefly, just to speak to both ends of that comment, we do need to look at a different way of addressing the issue, and it's not an issue of screening versus exams, but meeting them where they're at, especially children. You have a convenient sample of the population that are going to school, so why not go to the school? And I know, you know, optometry could be, you know, in a sense a retail profession where, you know, your practice may be based on insurance collection and things like that, but a lot of times you can get different models if you approach, you know, school administration and going in there and saying, hey, give me all of your K-2-4 whatever students, and I'll do examinations on them.
That's an excellent. What is your name?
Renita.
Renita, thank you for that comment. And actually, I think you've hit on some things that are going on right now through New England College of Optometry and other places, and it's work that I do and others in the room. And I know Katherine Johnson and Stacey Lyons are intimately involved in school-based health centers. And one more thing that you know, Michael had kind of alluded to is that in theory, we're not supposed to screen, you know, if you're symptomatic. We're supposed to find potential vision care problems and send them out for comprehensive care. However, at the local level, what I find with the poorest of the poor in my urban community right now is that they come in wearing glasses, we're sending them out, or they are getting screened redundantly because those kids, even though they've been in the system, they're back out of the system, they haven't gotten in for years, they're wearing old prescriptions, they're wearing their brother's prescription, and they're like, excellent. Excellent point. Yes, question.
You know, I agree with the comments about screening versus exams, and I applaud the things we've said here. I also think there's another aspect we need to think a lot more about, and that's that in the follow-up, we need to be talking about a case management of follow-up, not just sending a letter to the parents and saying, go to the eye doctor, or doing a few steps, but a true case management protocol that ensures that you get the highest percentage of children actually to the doctor at the end of the day, so they get the treatment, because you're wasting time if you screen and the child never gets to the doctor. You waste your time if you screen, they get to the doctor, have a prescription in their purse, and never get the eyeglasses. Or if they get their eyeglasses and lose them the next day or they're broken the next week. And so it's a true case management process that is repetitive that I think is very important.
I think we've just labeled a session for next year's program. And can you identify yourself, please?
I'm Jeff Haddocks with Sight Savers America.
Oh, excellent, Jeff. Yes, that's right. You're a co-author of Sight Savers.
I do have a quick response to
Kathleen, please.
Yes. As I mentioned,
As you mentioned, Renee, I do have some expertise in survey methodology, and I'm not going to stand up here and say our questions are wonderful because we know that there's issues with parent-reported data. But I will tell you that, and so I'm not arguing with that. The problem with the registries, et cetera, and some of the other, to really get what you want would be very, very, very expensive to do, and that's why we're not doing it now. But for what it's worth, I will tell you that we are currently collecting data right now for the 2011 National Survey of Children's Health, which looks at the health of non-institutionalized kids between 0 and 17 years of age, and that can also produce national and state estimates. And there were questions that were added. Evidently, the Children's Vision Center, they had this national expert panel, and there were questions that went back and forth. And they finally added some questions to the survey. So, even though the data have limitations and there are methodological issues, when these data are available, hopefully sometime in late 2012, 2013, whatever it will be, you will be able to look at percentage or prevalence of vision screening by state. And the questions were age specific. I think it was either 0 to 2 or 0 to 3 years of age was one set, and then there was another set for either 4 or 5 years olds and older. I didn't bring them with me, but they asked where they were screened and what method, you know, to the extent that they can. So did the something about colors and shapes, and I don't have those questions with me, but I'm certainly happy to share them with anybody who's interested. So I just mention that because it's, again, it's not a fix, but it's what we have right now. So
for the diehards that are still in the room, are there any other questions? Well, thank you for the excellent dialogue, for the incredible presentations. We learned a lot today, and thanks for holding out. I'd like to just highlight before you leave, I wanted to highlight that the next Vision Care-sponsored session is Vision Care Needs of Vulnerable Populations in the U.S. and Worldwide, and that's in Franklin Square. Please join us for Tuesday and Wednesday Vision Care-sponsored events as well. Thank you very much. And thanks to all of our presenters.